each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
And good Monday afternoon. This is Mary Fiorito, and you are listening to Winds of Change here on Listener Supported, AM 750 WNDZ. Hope you had a beautiful weekend. It is my privilege, as ever, to be sitting in for Father Anthony today. And you regular listeners know he is having some health challenges, and so is very much depending on your prayers, counting on them. And I hope that you are remembering him to the Lord and praying for a full and complete recovery for him. But so we are here, a new week, a new month today. We begin the month of July, and I just got my first back-to-school catalog. Can you believe that? Shocking. And so I thought it would be a good idea, now that I have a back-to-school catalog, and I've barely unpacked the kids' backpacks, to talk a little bit about education and school, and particularly high school for kids who are from challenged communities. And to address this topic, I couldn't think of any group better to help me work through this with you listeners than the people at PEAK. And with me, I have Anthony Bowden, who is the program director for PEAK. Anthony, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Great to have you with us.
Yeah.
Anthony, tell us, what does PEAK stand for?
So PEAK is the Partnership to Educate and Advance Kids.
Okay.
Yeah. For the past 21 years, we have intentionally focused on giving academically average students from, as you said, challenged neighborhoods, the opportunity to attend Holy Trinity High School on a full scholarship. Every student that receives that scholarship also gets a one-on-one mentor.
Okay.
So we're very much a scholarship organization, but also a mentoring program.
Okay, and 21 years old. And Holy Trinity High School, pardon me, is run by the Fathers of the Holy Cross, who also operate the University of Notre Dame and the University of Portland in Portland, Oregon. Best known for Notre Dame, a little less known for the other two schools, but still part of their educational ministry as a religious community here in the United States. And so, Anthony, I have had the pleasure of attending a couple of PEAK events, and high school scholarship programs are fairly standard, you know, especially for families who are wanting to put their child through a Catholic high school. But what really makes PEAK stand out in my mind is more, it's that mentoring program,
isn't
just like somebody taking you out, you know, twice a year and asking you how your grades are. Can you unpack that mentoring piece of the program? Because to me, it's really, when I've gone to your events and I've seen the mentors and the scholars speak, I'm always so moved by the friendships that develop, the true relationships that develop. So speak a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I think for us, that's really like the secret sauce, as they say, right?
Right.
We ask our mentors to commit to 4 years, 4 hours a month minimum with a scholar. So,
okay.
And we do that because what we know is with mentoring, it's like building a relationship, right?
So right.
It's not going to happen overnight, and it takes time to develop. And these students are dealing with different things every year.
Right.
So to be able to find an individual who says that 4 years is not too long, you know, or not too short.
And 4 hours, 4 hours a month? Did
4 hours
you say?
A month.
4 hours a month for 4 years. Okay.
You know, we look at that maybe like a weekend. You guys hang out.
Right.
And our mentors really take that to another level. Some of them have weekly phone calls where they're always checking in. They go out to, you know, go out to dinner. They
right.
help each other with, you know, things that the students are going through, whether it's homework or final exams. So what we found is that the mentors who really commit to that over 4 years
right.
really make relationships that last for a lifetime.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
And what's, so is it, is the mentor, is the mentor the person who gives the scholarship, or are those separate things?
So it's one and the same, right? So some of the mentors do sponsor students to go to Holy Trinity. Some just mentor. And, you know, we're always welcome to anyone who wants to do both. But it's definitely a mentoring piece. It's a volunteer effort. You know, you want to kind of commit your time to really help this student navigate high school, navigate life. And we are always welcome to anyone who wants to go the extra step and sponsor a student scholarship.
Right. But you don't. So say, you know, you're kind of a recently out of college person and you're still paying back your loans. But this program sounds really fascinating to you. But you're thinking, gosh, I don't have the money. I'm still paying back my own student loans. I don't have the money to sponsor a kid. But boy, that mentoring piece sounds really cool. Is that arrangement possible?
Oh, for sure. Okay. And a lot of our mentors are within that, you know, what I like to call the emerging adult. You know, they're just kind of out of grad school or they're new in their career.
Right.
And this is something they feel like this is perfect for.
Right.
You know, I can use my time and really make a difference.
Right. Because, you know, people are looking for, you know, meaningful volunteer opportunities where, you know, what they're doing really makes a difference.
Yeah.
People really like that hands-on interaction. And I think, you know, to think that you can start with a young man or a young woman coming in as a high school freshman and really help them navigate, you know, everything that happens during high school, that's a great gift. Because I shouldn't make this assumption, but are many of the students who come to you from single-parent households, would that be sort of a norm? Or is
that's within the, so we really serve primarily two demographics.
Okay.
We're looking at African-American students and Latinx students.
Okay.
And what I've seen is really like in our African-American community, those students that come from there, that's a lot of single-parent homes.
Whether it's
just mom, whether it's just dad, and not for all of them.
Right.
And then the same is true for some of our Latinx communities, but a lot of our students are either, whether it's the parents, there's one mom or one dad, or they may be the first person in the home that's really kind of going through high school and completing.
And private high school.
Exactly.
Boot, right.
So this is it's a brand new experience.
Right.
So a lot of the parents sometimes can be not know what to do or how to kind of navigate that. So when you have that mentor there who's kind of been there, done that, kind of serves not only as a coach for the scholar, but they sometimes help the families as well.
Well, you know, I'm thinking as you're saying this, Anthony, I just went through the whole, I have my eldest daughter's going off to college in the fall to one of the Holy Cross schools, the University of Portland, go Pilots. and just navigating, you know, and I'm a college educated person myself, but the application process is overwhelming. I almost like, you know, I feel like I needed a class and, you know, there's the Common App and then separate apps. And do you take the ACT? Do you take the SAT? I was saying to someone, I don't know how parents who've never been through this.
Yeah, that's tough.
Manage it because it is incredibly complicated on some levels. And, you know, and I would imagine so many of your scholars would be eligible for, you know, wonderful funding opportunities.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, but the parents may just not even know that they exist.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
And that's why the program's important, right? Because yes, we're mentoring these kids, but we're trying to make sure that they effectively navigate high school. So we are, you know, we do these mentor scholar events that take place every weekend, or we do them once a quarter on the weekend on like a Saturday. And some of those events are focused on how do you navigate this college process? What's the Common App? You know, FAFSA. What is that?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I wish.
And the kids are like, thank you so much for doing that for me, because no one knew.
No one in their family knew.
And many of them are doing it by themselves.
Right. And you know, there is a lot of emphasis placed now during the college application process on the applicant really taking responsibility for the parts of the app. But, you know, it's, but by the same token, you know, the things like the college essay, you know, if you've never sat down and looked at the components of a college essay and what makes a good essay and what doesn't make a good essay. And, you know, that's a very big part of your application.
For sure.
That is given an incredible amount of weight. So, but I, you know, I want to just kind of circle back. So that now that we've been introduced to the program and its mentoring component, because I want to just hear a little bit about how you came to be with PEAK. I know you've been there for a year, but you had a very interesting job as a youth minister prior to coming on board. And so I'd love, tell me a little bit about where you're from and how you wound up at PEAK.
So, I'm from the inner cities of Atlanta and Atlanta, Georgia, New Haven, Connecticut. Grew up in a single-parent home for most of my life. My mom got married a little bit later. Uh-huh. And I had the opportunity to go to Oakwood University, which is a historically black college and university located in North Alabama, Huntsville, Alabama.
Uh-huh.
And
is that affiliated with a particular denomination? Is it Baptist?
It's a Seventh-day Adventist Christian school.
Okay.
So I remember growing up in my local church, and I kind of had some oratorical skills, and they said, man, you would be a great pastor.
That's
would you ever
fantastic.
Consider studying
yeah.
theology? And I'm like, I don't know. So make a long story short, I ended up applying to the school a little bit late, got in, went down there, and it just really changed my life because, you know, I was this unrefined guy, you know, really rough around the edges, but it was a small school, very nurturing environment. And, I make a long story short, became a pastor, went to seminary and got this great opportunity to pastor the largest African-American church in our denomination, which is the Oakwood University Church. It's located on the campus. I was an intern there before I left, and they called me back and said, hey, we have this opening. We want you to take it.
Wow.
And it was a great experience. You know.
So you were a youth pastor there?
I was a youth pastor.
Yeah,
I was a youth, young
fantastic.
Adult, and worship pastor. So I did a lot. But I think for me, it was a void missing, right? I was there for about 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And though I learned a lot and was able to grow as a professional and as a minister, being someone who came from an unchurched home, if you would, and coming from
so you
the
didn't,
inner
so
city.
So you and your mom didn't go to church and your
we
stepfather?
We did, but it wasn't.
Wasn't like a huge part of your life?
Not early on.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was more like the kids went, but the parents didn't go type of thing.
That's sort of typical,
So there was a burden for me to really give back to a community of people, students that came from that type of reality where it was just mom at home, or you really were the first person who was, quote unquote, making it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to look for an opportunity to mentor students, to run a program that was community focused, that was student focused.
Okay.
I got married, and my wife was from Chicago, so I'm like, we should try to get to Chicago.
Yeah.
So,
but God really has on your heart service to young people.
Yeah, and my mom would always say, you were called to serve.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's that stigma of you're once a minister, always a minister. And there were some people who were like, well, what are you doing leaving, you know, organized pastorate? But I was like, I think that, you know, the Lord is calling me to minister to these young people, and not necessarily in a church proper, but there are people in our communities that still need hope, they need inspiration, they need an example. And I really felt like in many ways that I was plucked out of my situation only to be placed back in as a light, and as a source of motivation and inspiration for people like myself.
And so how did you get connected with Peak then?
Yeah, so I was sending out tons of resumes, as you can imagine, and got a call. I think my first call actually came from one of our board members, Kelly Dean, and she was asking me about myself and, you know, why I do what I do and wanted to partner with Peak. And we really felt during that first conversation that there was a natural connection. It just felt like it was supposed to be. So after a long interview process, they were being very intentional about trying to choose the right person, as well as I was trying to be intentional about choosing the right organization. We made the decision that this would be a great fit for me as well for them. And the rest was history. I moved up here and from Nashville. I was living in Nashville at the time. Moved from Nashville to Chicago and started working as the program manager.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. And again, it's not, I think, walking away from your calling. It's just using your gifts in a different way.
Yeah, I tell people it's more like embracing it, right?
Right.
Because I think we all have our niche, right? We have that group of people that we really can connect with and talk to. And I think Peak serves those students in a unique way. And I think that, you know, this segment is really where I find passion and really where I can connect in a major way.
No, it's remarkable. Well, now that we've gotten all our in-depth introductions out of the way, when we come back from the break, Anthony, we'll talk a little bit more about the program, and I want to hear some real-life examples about the students that you've served. Okay, terrific, everyone. You're listening to Mary Fiorito on AM 750 WNDZ, The Winds of Change Show. Don't go away.
St. Stan's School has an amazing PK3 through 8th grade program focused on leadership and social-emotional learning, and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK3 through 8th, is taught by our highly educated and dedicated teachers. St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced level placement opportunities as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community, where you feel welcome and at home with other families and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent. Join the St. Stan's family. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
There is a lot going on at St. Stan's. St. Stanislaus Koska is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. There is Eucharistic adoration before the iconic monstrance, confessions 4 days per week, and masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. There's much more waiting for you here. St. Stan's is right off the Kennedy Expressway, just two blocks north of Division on Noble. Find out more by going to ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org and enter into the presence of Christ.
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito sitting in today for Father Anthony here on listener-supported Winds of Change. I am joined this hour by Anthony Bowden of the PEAK program, and we are talking about how PEAK Chicago, the partnership to educate and advance kids, you can read about them at peakchicago.org, how they help students entering high school from economically underserved and challenged communities in order to help them to achieve and to graduate from high school, and how they are sort of introduced into the world of college applications and finishing high school and succeeding and having goals for careers, etc. So, Anthony, tell us about how many kids are in the program right now? How many students?
So we currently have, including the class that we just admitted, we'll probably have somewhere around 43 students. We have four students that are waitlisted right now that we're still
And they're waitlisted. Why?
Funding.
Funding. Okay. Yeah, they don't have a sponsor.
They don't have a sponsor.
Okay.
And when we admit a student into the PEAK program, we're guaranteeing 4 years of tuition
right.
covered. You know, right. And knowing that that student is going to do their part, they're
right.
going to get the grades.
Right.
So we don't want them to ever have to worry that I have to reapply or
right.
the money's not there this year.
Right.
It's confirmed.
So, okay. So you're in need of four people who need
sure.
scholarships. So yep. listeners, if any of you feel moved after this conversation is over and you remember, you can never outdo God in generosity. So you can go to www.peakchicago.org to look into sponsoring one of these four students who are currently waiting. But you've got 43 in the program
yes.
now, Anthony. Okay. But tell us, you know, give me an example of one of your success stories.
Yeah. There are many. One of my favorite, I always tell this story. There's a young man. His name is Justin Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And Justin's maybe 1 year older than myself. And I talked to Justin this year and got to know his life. And when Justin joined the program, he was the second in his line. His brother was also before him, and their parents were dealing with some substance abuse issues.
Mm-hmm.
And really, his brother was kind of his main example. He really wanted to be like his brother, and since
right.
his brother was in PEAK, he joined the program, and he was connected with two mentors, a husband and wife pair, Sally and Jody Moulton.
Well, so you can do that
as a family,
as
for sure.
As a family, very yeah. cool.
If there's
okay.
a husband and wife listening and you want a mentor, we welcome it.
Excellent.
So Sally and Jody connected with, why am I forgetting this name? I was just saying it. Justin.
With Justin. Yes,
yeah,
okay.
They connected with Justin, and Justin, being African-American young male, was a little apprehensive in the beginning, but they were so consistent, he told me. He said they dived in right, you know, head first. They made sure that they kept their word. Hey, Justin, we're going to call you every day on this, or we're going to call you every week at this time. We're going to go hang out on this day.
And uh-huh.
Anytime they said they were going to do something, they did it. He was like, he told me they weren't afraid to have tough conversations about, hey, these grades are not where we want them. How
right.
can we get them there?
Okay.
maybe you need to consider doing this a little bit different so that you can get this result. One of the beautiful things about Justin was he said once he knew that they cared, he bought into the relationship.
Right.
He said it was early on, 6 months in, he knew that
and
they were
cared
committed.
Consistently.
Consistently.
And I think that is, when I first started my professional career, I worked for an inner city Catholic school program called Big Shoulders. And this is what we found was one of the issues with kids. The kids had very difficult times trusting because so many things in their lives were unpredictable.
Yep.
You know, like, will I have enough money for a lunch tomorrow? Will I, you know, will my dad actually make his child support payments to my mom this month so that we don't have to borrow from grandma for the rent? I mean, just thing after thing after thing that most middle class kids, it would never even occur to them that there might not be, you know, lunch tomorrow because I might not have money to pay for you. And so they have a difficulty trusting other people sometimes.
Yep.
And so I think that's one of the beauties of your many beautiful things about your program. But that this is, you know, that it builds up a consistent relationship based on trust.
And you know, it's funny. So Justin said there was this point of contention, right? Because you're in someone's life, and Justin's mentors recognized that though, you know, your family, they love you, and we know they do. And Justin loved his family.
Mm-hmm.
But there were also some habits that, you know, needed to be changed.
Right.
And that he needed to make sure he didn't copy. And Justin told us that it was in that moment that he had to realize that they wanted what was best for him, that they did not felt like his family was less than or anything. But
right.
He said, as a student, I didn't see that. But after a while, I did.
So, I mean, these aren't people coming in to try to take over the parenting roles.
Mm-mm.
I mean, your parent is still your parent. Your mother is still your mother. But they're supplementing, you know, in terms of knowledge and perhaps expertise.
Exactly.
And just, you know, and sometimes, you know, my heart goes out to many single moms who, you know, come home from work exhausted, you know, or they're working a night shift.
Yeah.
And it's very hard then to come home and then sit down and do a couple of hours of homework with your teenager when you might not have graduated from high school yourself.
Yeah.
And you don't get the math. I mean, you don't know how to help them, right?
And so that's the beautiful thing with the mentoring. You know, Justin said when he started to apply for college, he was, you know, star basketball player. He wanted to go to Marquette.
Right.
But the money wasn't there.
Oh.
So the mentors helped him, you know, pivot. What can you do?
Right.
Right. So he enrolled into the University of Illinois Springfield, played basketball for 2 years, realized that he really had a passion for serving students.
Uh-huh.
He became an intern on campus in the Diversity Center. Make a long story short, he got his bachelor's degree, his master's degree. He's currently a doctoral candidate at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. And
that's
now
fantastic.
He's the Director for Diversity and Inclusion for the University of Illinois Springfield.
That's beautiful.
And he was like, that happened because, you know, all the way through my journey, I had a mentor in Jody and Sally, but also others at the University of Illinois who did not give up on me. They saw my potential, poured into me, and he bought into the process.
Well, and too, I mean, the thing that you said, they helped him pivot.
Yeah.
Now, that is a key skill. I think that's a fantastic phrase. So copyright that or use it in your donor letters. That, because, you know, life isn't, you know, a smooth journey for kids from privileged families. Things happen, right? You know, a parent dies or you fail a class you never thought you'd fail or you know, for whatever reason, your scholarship money falls through. Or how do you go from there then and say, okay, this isn't a door that's closing. It's a different door that's opening.
Yeah.
God has a plan for me. How do I pivot now from this to something else? And I think a lot of kids, when faced with a challenge like that, would just simply give up, right?
Yep.
And then they just don't go back.
Yeah.
That's a very discouraging statistic. I may have heard at a peak event, actually, that kids from first-generation college families, if they do have to drop out for financial reasons, their first or second year of college, the vast majority never go back.
Yeah, it's hard. The retention rate is super low.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, we want to make sure that when our scholars choose a school,
mm-hmm.
we want to make sure they can finish at that school.
Right.
You know, I give a quick shout out to even some of the programs that we've partnered with. You know, for us, partnership is a huge thing. And I know with a lot of the college prep programs that some of our students may enroll in, we make sure that those values are there, that if a student enrolls, they have the funds to go. Because, you know, it really sucks if a kid goes to a college and then that next semester, you know, they don't have that scholarship. Maybe it was like a one-time thing. So we really implore our students to look at their options
and
to know that you want to choose a school that's best for you, not just name value, right?
Exactly.
What's going to be the right fit for you?
And, you know, and that's another very good point because I think, you know, again, and as I mentioned, I just went through the whole college application process, and I have a friend who used to work in the admissions office at the University of Notre Dame, and she was telling me, you know, not every kid is going to be a good fit at Notre Dame. They might be, and it's all about finding the right fit. And if people would not worry about the name labels, you know, and maybe look at some smaller schools. And that's why I have to say the college mentoring program at my daughter's Catholic high school was very good, where they said, you know, they'd make you fill out like an 18-page application about what your strengths and weaknesses are, you know, where do you see yourself in 10 years? And, you know, and a lot of kids, they would, you know, they'd thrive at, like, say, a smaller Catholic all-girls college, or, you know, an African-American young man might really thrive at one of the historically black colleges in the South, you know, and then other kids would just be stifled there, but they go to a Big Ten school and they take off, you know, and so to really know the child, to really know how the child learns, that's a very critical thing, but not to, you know, look down your nose at any particular little small school because it's not, you know, it doesn't have the big name or it's not a Big Ten school or what have you. That's a very important life lesson that a lot of people don't. And they do everything, you know, to try to get into some school because of a name, and then they wind up being miserable there because it's not a good fit for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's all these little life lessons. But again, so many of your mentors coming from, you know, what's your typical mentor like? Or is there a typical mentor?
I think if I thought about this class, I think there's at least one or two types. I mean, you have the younger professional, you know, so early 30s.
Like a young single kind of person.
Or just recently married.
Right.
White collar professional, maybe in the business industry. But we also have some more senior adults who really commit to this.
Like retired people? Oh, that's awesome.
Who look at this
as I didn't even think of retirees as possible mentors. That's fantastic.
We take them all.
Yeah.
So again, if you want to be a mentor, if you want to be a sponsor, if you want to be both, we welcome you.
Do you have a shortage of mentors right now?
I think we need two more ladies right now.
Two more women.
Two more ladies and one more.
Do you try to match by sex there? Do you,
And that's a great question. Because we match by sex, so a young lady will get a young lady, unless it's like in Justin's case, he had, you know, Jody and Sally.
Right.
So
unless it's a married couple.
Exactly.
Right.
But we also try to match based off of personality. And you know, we spend a week with the students during orientation week getting to know them.
Yeah.
So that when we look at the pool of mentors that we have, we ask ourselves the question, who will Jovan, for example, connect with the best?
Right.
Because we really want this relationship to flourish. We don't just say, well, we have eight, we'll just any mini my moa. So and we go as far as saying sometimes that if we can't find the right one for this person, we'll wait and find somebody better, right?
Yeah.
Because we really want that relationship to last forever, past graduation.
Right.
Because that's what mentoring really becomes when you're doing it right.
Yeah, they become like members of your family almost.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Where do your students come from? Do you have to recruit students to be in this program, or is it so well known now that people just come to you without you even trying?
So we definitely partner with Holy Trinity and kind of talking about our program when they're doing recruiting throughout the city.
And do you go to Catholic elementary schools, or do you go to public schools, or do you do a mix of both?
I think it's a mix of both,
okay.
Right? And I know lately we've really leaned on Holy Trinity.
Right.
But we're looking for students who have a financial need.
Okay.
Many of our students are coming from some of the toughest neighborhoods in Chicago. So like Back of the Yards, Inglewood, Humboldt Park, North Lawndale. Some of these kids are really experiencing gang culture on a day-to-day, gun violence. They know what it's like.
Right.
They've become numb to it, to be honest. But we're also looking specifically for academically average students. That's our key.
Okay.
That's what makes us different from
most
other
of the
mentors.
Programs.
Yeah, because we know that there are programs out there for the kids who have A's and B's and they're scoring high on the entrance exams. And then there are a lot of programs also for students who might be troubled, at-risk students.
Right.
But that student that's kind of C, average, they're kind of floating under the radar. That's the student that might drop out of high school and you don't even know.
Right.
We want that kid who has the C, who's not tapping into their potential, but they have a desire to be successful.
Right.
And once we see that grit and that desire during that interview process, that's what lets us know that's a peak kid.
Okay. All right. Well, as listeners, as we go into our next break, just want to remind you, you can go to peakchicago.org if you're interested in sponsoring a student. As Anthony Bolden mentioned, there are 4 students right now waiting for mentors who could go to Holy Trinity and be part of this program. So if you feel God moving you to be generous in that way, please do go to peakchicago.org, and you can find out information about how to sponsor a young man or a young woman, or to become a mentor to a young man or a young woman. But we're going to continue our conversation about the kinds of students and some other facets of the program we haven't touched on yet. So please don't go away. This is Mary Fiorito sitting in for Father Anthony today on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change. And I'm joined this hour by Anthony Bolden, who is the program director for a really important and, very inspirational organization called PEAK, the Partnership to Educate and Advance Kids. It's a 21-year-old program in the Chicago area that helps children from average students from at-risk and economically challenged neighborhoods to attend Holy Trinity High School on Chicago's North Side. And Anthony, tell me, why Holy Trinity? Because that's the only school you partner with right
now. Yeah. So great question. I think, like you said, I'm new to the community. And I think one of the things that we've been able to see over these past 21 years is that Holy Trinity is uniquely positioned to reach these kids, right?
Right.
Holy Trinity, majority of the students that are going there are receiving aid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some type of aid, whether they have a scholarship or whether they're receiving financial aid. So they know what the students are dealing with. But Holy Trinity is also an academically rigorous environment,
right?
But it's a values-based school, right?
Because it's a Catholic school.
It's a Catholic school.
And it's founded by the Brothers of the Holy Cross.
Yep.
I know, because it's the Holy Cross community includes the Fathers of the Holy Cross and the Brothers of the Holy Cross, who founded, among other institutions, Holy Trinity High School, but also the University of Notre Dame. That's
yep.
what they're best known for. So how does that Catholic and religious component of Holy Trinity impact the students in the program?
I think it does in a very positive way, right? Many of our students may not have a really church-based or,
that's becoming a problem. The number of young people who identify themselves as nuns and not in the Catholic sense, N-O-N-E-S, nuns, mm-hmm. they have no religious affiliation whatsoever. And they're sometimes coming to Catholic schools, both grade schools and high schools, And, you know, maybe they've occasionally gone to church on a Christmas with a grandma or something but they, you know, they come to us with really no religious or values formation whatsoever. And that's a big, you know, that can be a very big part, a very positive part of a young person's life.
Yeah.
And it allows, you know, Catholic schools, I think, have the freedom to talk about values in a way public schools don't, because of obvious, you know, religious restrictions and stuff like that. So talk a little bit about how that plays into the program and how the school, you know, tries to form kids, you know, to be people for others and to be people of service. And
that's a great one. So one thing I'll add too is that uniquely for Peak, we are housed in Holy Trinity. And the only,
so your offices are actually in Holy Trinity?
On the third floor.
Oh, great.
So we're able to connect with the students. They know me. I know them. I know all the teachers. I'm close to the dean, the campus minister. They all. And so it's really like a strong partnership.
That's not a partnership. That's like a marriage. That's like a...
It's a beautiful one.
Yeah, very good.
So what I've been able to see while being in that building is, you know, we have some students who are, you know, peer ministry leaders, or they go on these campus retreats because every year they go on a retreat, spiritual formation retreat.
Excellent.
As a class, they have mass every month. They have these service days, and that really, not only does it, like, you know, build someone's faith, but I think it just really rounds them out and makes them a whole person who's ready to, you know, give back what was given to them.
Right.
And that's the beautiful thing I see within the Holy Trinity alum and Peak alumni, is that when they leave our program, they're so grateful for what they've been given that they want to give back. We even have a mentor who went to Holy Trinity. He was a Peak scholar, and now he's a Peak mentor.
Yeah, so that's, and
that's really what it's all
like
about.
That,
you know, he helps out with the Holy Trinity baseball team.
Right.
And he's serving in his community as a program director for a nonprofit similar to Peak. And he credits that experience as a Peak scholar, as a Holy Trinity student, to what made him go in that direction career-wise.
So, right. And it really is, you know, it's... I have a friend that I went to elementary school with. I just had my elementary school. Only Catholic schools do this, I think, have grade school reunions. So we just had our, and it's a very big thing in Chicago, like where you, you know, not being a Chicagoan, you might not be as familiar with this yet. But we just had a reunion. One of my classmates who grew up in a Hispanic family, she's Puerto Rican, I think, and is now a judge.
Wow.
And she's a judge in family court. And she was telling me, you know, whenever I get a family in front of me who's divorcing and there's some issue over schooling, I really emphasize, and if they're a family that has, you know, had familiarity or past experience with Catholic schools, keeping their kid in a Catholic school. And she said it made the complete difference for me. I would not be a judge.
Yeah.
There's no way I would be in the position I was had my mother not scrimped and saved and put me through a Catholic school, she and my sister. And she said, you know, she had one of her children who went to a public high school for 1 year, and she said the difference was extraordinary. And she went, it wasn't a good district. I mean, it wasn't like a, you know, impoverished public school or something, but she was saying to me, just based on that experience alone, she said, anytime I can, as a judge, influence divorcing parents to make that choice, because I know it is so transformative for students. And, you know, she said, and it's absolutely because of the faith component. Because, you know, it's not just a, you know, well, whatever you think God might be. And, you know, that no, there is a God that, you know, that demands a certain way of life from us, right? And it's so that we can all live in harmony and that we can all live peacefully and that we can all, you know, become people of service and, you know, who live just not for themselves. I think that's the, you know, the key part, that it's not, everything is not about you, you know? And that's kind of hard, like with teenagers especially, right?
Oh,
I mean,
goodness.
You know, everything from the selfie, right? What does the selfie tell you, right? That the self is the most important thing.
Yeah.
And to help students understand that, no, you're called to, you know, no matter what your state in life is, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you may only have that penny to give, but there may be times that God's asking you to give that penny, right?
Yeah. So to whom much is given, much is required,
right?
And I share that with my students all the time. As a product of the inner city, but also the product of a mentoring program, I remind them constantly that, honestly, they have no excuse but to succeed.
Right.
They have this scholarship. They're at a great school with teachers that care, with an administration that is transparent, that knows their name.
Right.
They have no excuse but to succeed.
Right.
And then to, with that success, with that gift of a scholarship, to, you know, try to be a source of motivation and light to those who are coming behind them. And I think for those who are listening, I really want to take this as an opportunity to really kind of emphasize why we, you know, we're so big on our sponsoring, our sponsorship, right? And why we want people to give. It's because with this gift, we're not just, you know, saying, oh, look at the money that we have. No, we are giving these kids a life-changing opportunity. Many of them will literally, because of this one gift, change the entire socioeconomic reality for their parents, because they'll be the first ones to go to college, the first ones to actually get a really good job, and actually complete these things, because that's not a reality that some of them are seeing.
Are familiar with, right? Well, so that leads into the point I wanted to kind of to talk to you about in terms of how mentors can set good examples. We were talking off-air, listeners, Anthony and I were, about this national longitudinal survey of youth, where it tracked a cohort of young adults from their teenage years into early adulthood. And what it found was that there is something that's called the success sequence. Mm-hmm. And if people follow this success sequence, they have about a 1% chance of living in poverty. So the success sequence is you graduate from high school, you get a job, any job, any job, just as long as you have a job, and you don't have children until you get married. And if you follow those three steps, those success sequence, you have a less, I think it's a less than 5% chance of ever living in poverty in your entire life. But what the study also found was that the message, this message, doesn't filter down to young adults, and it doesn't filter down into poor communities in the same way it's present in, even in an unspoken way, in upper middle class or middle class communities. And there's one, there was an excellent article on this in the Wall Street Journal, written by Wendy Wang, who is herself a Chinese American, who said, you know, my parents, you know, just, it was just by osmosis. I had kind of absorbed this, that I knew that that was the sequence, but they interviewed the daughter of a single mother from a very economically challenged family, who told this Wendy Wang, she said, I knew that teen pregnancy was a bad idea. And she said, but the idea that school, work, marriage, and childbearing form a sequence that leads to success as an adult was new to me. She said, no one in my school ever talked about this. And she said, my mom never said anything to me about it either. So let's just kind of maybe using that as a springboard, that kids from these areas don't get that message that finishing high school is important, then getting a job, and then waiting. Can you talk a little bit about that? Just, I mean, maybe even not as specific to PEAK, but how you've sort of seen that play out in students who have the exposure through their mentors.
Yeah, so if I can be a little transparent, and I don't mind sharing my story, but I think that was a reality for me, right?
Okay.
And my mom was big on that. My mom had me at 17 years old. She had three kids by 19. And growing up, I watched her struggle, not just financially, but emotionally, right? Yeah. Because her whole adulthood was kind of taken away from her. So here I am, you know, having the opportunity to go to college. And I finished, you know, I graduated high school, got a master's degree.
She must be so proud of you. She must be so proud of you.
And waited, you know, to have kids to get married. I don't have a kid yet, but one year married, so hopefully soon. but I say all that to say, between my mom and myself, there's a huge change in our realities, right? And she's super proud of that. And I use my life as an example to my kids, and I let them know that if you follow these steps, you know, there's a sure way to success, right?
Right.
Pending any life, you know, altering event. But if you go to school, stay focused, you know, relationships will take care of themselves when it's time, right?
Right.
And do the first things first, you know, success will be on the other side
of that. Exactly. And this is sort of it is a process, but that, you know, I mean, this was kind of one of the things, just going back to perhaps the religious component of Holy Trinity, but that, you know, my mother would always say to us, listen, God doesn't give you rules to make you miserable. God gives you rules so you will be happy.
Mm.
And if you follow them, right? I mean, not that God can't work around anything that's there, right? God can, you know, obviously, if you get off course, God can bring you back on course. So it's not if you make a mistake, then, you know, it's an excuse just to give up.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying. However, it will make it easier if you follow, you know, you just keep doing the next right thing, right? Just do the next right thing. And then God does reward your faithfulness, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have my friend Ryan Bomberger, who runs the Radiance Foundation, who I think would be a very wonderful speaker for your he's an African American young man. He's probably in his late 30s, but he was conceived in rape. And then his birth mother made an adoption plan for him. He was adopted into a family of, I think there's 13 children of every nationality. They look like the United Nations. You should see the pictures of them. And but he's gone on, you know, and he always talks about, I am not the circumstances of my conception. Yeah. I am more than that. And yeah. God took me. I mean, he won an Emmy for his music, for his rap music. And now he has two adopted children of his own and two, you know, and he said, look, like, my life could not have started out worse, right? Yeah. I mean, like, you know, and he said, but if I ever, he's tried to find his birth mother. He was never able to. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, and I want to respect her desire to be private, but he said, I would just thank her and thank her and thank her for giving me this gift of life, because I you know, and he grew up in this very big family. They didn't have a lot of money because they'd adopted so many children. But he said, look what God has done with me.
Yeah.
And I just kept doing the next right thing. And, you know, just such a powerful person, a powerful example.
That's a beautiful story.
Oh, he's great. I'll send you some information. He's really an inspirational person. And he said, you know, there would have been every reason in the world, you know, for my birth mother to have chosen differently. But she, you know, she wanted to do the right thing by me, and it wasn't my fault, right?
Yeah.
And so it's, yeah, very, very powerful. And but it's great that you are able, though. What I love about your program is that you meet the kids where they are, right? They're not coming to you, perfect kids, and you know, nobody is. And and you know what's interesting to me, just having some experience where a high school, where some more up, is more of an upper middle class high school where kids would be of privilege. You know, the number of students I'm aware of who have anxiety or depression, or, you know, it seems to be rampant among kids for whom, boy, I think a lot of the kids in your school were saying, what are you anxious about? You know what I mean? Like, seriously, like, I got to cross over three different gang territories to get home. I'm lucky I don't get shot. And you're worried
I can tell you stories. Yeah.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and so I always find that just a very interesting, I don't know, juxtaposition, I suppose, would be the word, of, you know, kids who seem to have it all and kids who seem to have not very much. And it's the kids who seem to have not very much that are happier, right? But maybe it's because of that.
I think it's I think it's important for, and we let our students know this all the time, that you can't allow your circumstances to determine, you know.
That's what my friend Ryan Bauberger says. Do not let your circumstances,
And anybody
because they don't, right?
Yeah, because, like, you could sit there and throw your hands up and say, well, it's me, you know.
Right.
What is that going to do? That's not going to change anything. That's not going to change your situation. So all you can do is kind of accept where you are and make the most of the opportunities that are given to you, and then change that.
And, and then realize, too, that there's a gift in there. There's a gift in where you are. You are where you are for a reason, but there's a gift in where you are that you can use, that God wants you to use some way.
Yeah.
And you got to ask him to show you, you know, tell me what to do. But listen, this hour is flying by, Anthony, and I warned you about this beforehand, but we're going to go into our last break. And when we come back, we'll wrap up by talking. I'd like to hear another story about one of your students and help listeners know where they can go to become involved with your program. So listeners, please don't go away. This is Mary Fiorito sitting in for Father Anthony today here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Here we are, sitting in the middle of the award-winning prairie at Annunciation Parish in beautiful Homer Glen, Illinois. And with me is Father Tom Loya. Father Tom, please tell us about
Prairie Fest.
This is the 12th anniversary of Prairie Fest, which is a festival for the entire family, where you'll enjoy music, a grand cash raffle with over $15,000 in cash prizes, a beer garden, children's section, family events, great food, bake sale, board painting, and more.
Prairie Fest kicks off Friday, August 9th at 5 p.m., when you can enjoy the musical duo Common Allies. Then, at 7:30, Kaleidoscope Eyes take you on an acoustic tribute to the Beatles. Saturday, August 10th is Family Day, as Prairie Fest kicks off at noon with music from Matthew Rich, a magic act, a board painting class, and classic cars. Fast forward to 4 p.m. to enjoy the music group JT Acoustic. Then, at 7:30, Five Guys Named Mo will cap off this fantastic Family Day. Sunday is Polka Day from 11 a.m. till 5 p.m. with Tony Plazonchek's new phase kicking the day off at 11.
While you're enjoying all this music, food, and fun at Prairie Fest, I'll take you on a guided tour of our beautiful prairie, and you can tour Annunciation Church's breathtaking interior. All are welcome to attend a Byzantine Catholic liturgy or Mass Saturday night at 11 and Sunday morning at 10. Any Catholic in good standing may receive Holy Communion.
Bring your family and friends for a great time at Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 9th through the 11th at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church, 14610 Wilcook Road in Homer Glen, Illinois. For complete details, visit ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com for Prairie Fest.
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito sitting in for Father Anthony today here on Winds of Change, and I'm joined this hour by Anthony Bolden of the PEAK program, which you can find out more about at www.peakchicago.org. And it is a program that assists at-risk kids to attend Holy Trinity High School here in the Chicago area, run by the Brothers, the Congregation of the Holy Cross, the Brothers there. And what's wonderful about this program, Anthony, that we've been sort of touching on here and there, are that it hits the kids in the middle, not the kids who are, you know, super smart, not the kids who are really struggling, but it hits those average kids.
Yep.
That don't have to be average. Can you give me an example of one of those kids that came to you super average, and you were able, through your mentoring and scholarship, able to kind of change the course of their their education?
One of the students that come to mind is young man named Gabe. You know, Gabe came in academically average, probably a little bit below average, right? And many of our students that first year, it's kind of almost a culture shock, right? Holy Trinity is a great school, but it's also academically rigorous for some of our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And when
do most of your kids, sorry for interrupting, do they come to you prepared for high school? Most of your kids, no.
They
That's what I've heard from other people who are doing, that some of the kids are coming in at like sixth and seventh grade reading levels, and math is sometimes worse.
Math and
remedial.
Science are usually the hard parts, right?
Yeah.
So Gabe, right, struggled. I mean, and we were all shocked. We saw his grades, and he wouldn't mind me sharing this. His first quarter, he might have had a 0.75. I mean,
yikes.
Low D's and F's.
Oh,
right?
My goodness.
And
how demoralizing for him.
Yeah, right.
You know, how demoralizing.
And these kids, right, they're still used to, you fail, it's over, right?
Yeah.
Nobody cares. But what we did was we said, all right, how can we best reach Gabe? And this is why I love Holy Trinity. Every other week we meet and we discuss every student in detail, how to best reach that student. So we connected, Holy Trinity, the mentor, myself, and the parent, and we said, okay, Gabe's not doing well, and we're not going to give up on him. We're not going to let him fail. So the mentor committed to, Anthony, I'm going to make sure I check in on Gabe every single week. I'm going to spend more time with him, but I'm also going to really kind of go into the depths of his life. He started calling the grandmother. Raised by an 80-plus-year-old grandmother and saying, how can I support you, right? And now the grandmother and Gabe are connecting and talking. Now on the school end, right, I'm there and I'm that positive reinforcement. Gabe, did you go see Mr. Morales, who's our PEAK advisor and a Holy Trinity teacher?
Right.
You know, he stayed after school every single day to get his grades up. And he went from a 0.75 to a 2.15 or something like that.
Yeah.
And you can imagine, right? Obviously, we don't want him to end there, but just to be able to go almost greater than a point and a half. You know, we know his trajectory is upward now, right?
And
that's what success is.
Yeah.
It's like, as long as you're moving in that direction, going up, we know that we can get you to where you're
supposed
to be.
Right, we can maybe, you know, and for a child like that, you know, who has probably been receiving messages his whole life, you're dumb, you're stupid,
yep.
You can't even get a, to have the experience of sitting down and working with someone and then on your own being able to bring up those grades.
Yeah.
I mean, how empowering for this young man.
And it's funny, you see the joy in his face when he runs to you and say, Anthony, did you see my grades? Did you get my report card? And I said, man, I'm proud of you, Doc.
Yeah. Now,
and then but for me, you know, I'm like, but I know you can do even better. And he's like, yeah, I know I can.
But he needed to see, wait, I can get a C in a class. You know,
mm-hmm.
He needed to be able to see that, no, I can do that.
He can do it.
Yeah.
And that motivates him to do even better next time. Because
right.
He's like, when I start sophomore year, Anthony,
right.
I'm on a clean slate. I'm getting all A's. And
right.
I'm like, now you can do
good,
that, right? And we set those high goals. We want
right.
We want them to aspire to more. We want them to be 3.0, 3.5, 4.0 students because
yeah.
They can do that.
They can do it, right. And they have
they
to,
just need the support.
You know, have you seen the movie Akilah and the Bee?
I did.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me a little of Akilah
yeah.
and the Bee, right? She's coming out of this inner city school. You know, a spelling bee, what is that?
Yeah.
You know, and winds up going on to the Nationals. I mean, it's a beautiful story
yeah.
about how, you know, with, you know, that mentoring support, right? Because
it's all
about her mentor,
yeah.
right? The African-American college professor who mentors her. And, you know, but starts by being tough with her,
yep.
you know? I mean, I remember the scene where she goes and she uses very poor English for a kid who can spell so well. And he said, you will speak here properly. You will not speak at all.
That's
I will not put up with that.
Mm-hmm.
And she needed someone. Her father had died. Her father had been murdered. You know, the mom worked nights as a nurse. The poor kid. I mean, it was her brother's in a gang. I mean, it was every family dysfunctional thing you can probably think of, but she, with the help of this mentor, managed to pull herself up, and
yeah.
you know, it pulled up the whole community. And
exactly,
that's the beauty of that. So, so to talk to me about if you had to create a wish list for
yeah.
for Peak, what I mean, and every you know every charity has them, but I,
yeah.
what are the things you really want to see happen with Peak?
We really want to be able to eventually reach 70 students, right?
Okay.
And we can do that. With the generous support of sponsors and donors. Right now, Holy Trinity's tuition is $9,100. And we ask
yeah.
mentors to or sponsors to commit to 4 years of $9,100. Some say, we can't do the whole. Can we do the half? Yeah.
Right.
And then we
right.
attach that half to someone else's
right.
half.
So
sometimes they say, we can't do a half. We can do a quarter. We'll take whatever it is
right.
and create a full year or 4 year, right? But then we have people who want to donate to the events that we do,
right.
All, you know, because we still have to run this program. I think the wish list would be to be able to accept as many scholars as we want, really, right?
Like, yeah.
We don't have a capacity and really give them this life-changing support that I think so many kids in Chicago, they need, right? And we need mentors. We need sponsors. So I really want to implore anyone who's listening, who's been touched by these stories. There's so many. I wish we had more time, but there's so many stories. If you want to get involved with the Peak organization, we really implore you to visit our website. There's a link there at www.peakchicago.org that allows you to, you know, join to be a sponsor, to be a donor. If you're
right.
interested in mentoring, fill out that application, and I'll contact you. Our executive director will get in contact with you, and we'll, you know, we'll put your time or your resources to work, life-changing work that will really not only make a difference in a student's life, but make a difference in the communities that they come from.
Well, so let's just go back to, you know, because you talked about how your scholars generally come to you through Holy Trinity.
Yeah.
So Holy Trinity, my guess is, I know that in eighth grade, there's all sorts of high school fairs that
yeah.
happen and schools are there. And then how are the scholars selected? Do they fill out an application? Do
yeah,
they do you interview them?
Exactly. That's a great question. So students apply to Holy Trinity first. And because we want them to be both committed to Holy Trinity and Peak, Holy Trinity would then send those students that qualify, you know, they have a financial need, they're academically average, they send them to us. And then what we do is we send those scholars through a pretty rigorous application and interview process. So They're writing essays. They're getting references.
Hmm.
Then we have interviews with the scholar and the parents. We 10 minutes or 15 minutes with the scholar by themselves.
Right.
And then we meet with the parent and make sure that they understand.
That they get what, it. Like, yeah. This is a commitment.
Because, we ask the families, too, even though we're giving a full tuition scholarship, we ask them to pay a small, really small portion, but we want them to have skin in the game.
Well, they have to, yeah. You know, you want to keep the kids in the system because that, you know, as we talked about the secret to success, the sequence of success, that's the sequence, you know, to make sure that you're in a educational environment where there are strong expectations. Well, Anthony Bolden, God bless you for the work that you
do. Thank you so much.
And oh my goodness, my privilege to have been with you today. And I hope you'll come on again sometime and update us.
I
will. Okay, terrific. Well, listeners, thank you again for sharing this lunchtime hour with us. Please do keep Father Anthony in your thoughts and your prayers. This has been Mary Fiorito sitting in today on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.